In the early 80s, I can remember being afraid of nothing more than Satanists. Coming home from school, and my mom had watched these talk shows all day long about how Satanists were abducting people, killing people, making sacrifices. There was this place called The Ridge where my dad grew up that I overheard him and his friends telling stories about where these Satanists would go, and you didn't want to be there because they would kill you. But is any of that true? Fuck, I think it happened in every damn town around the world. In the 80s especially. So let's dive into a little bit of some of this Satanism and see if it's actually true or not.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Knights in white, Satan. Do 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 do. How's everybody doing? Welcome back once again to another episode of Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I'm Zach. Joining me always is Spar and Landy. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Oh, satanically awesome.
Satanically awesome.
Hail Satan.
Is that like Hail Satan or is that like a Hail Satan?
Either way, I think.
Oh, hail.
Either way works.
Hail. Oh, hail no, Satan.
I had the idea of doing this episode because of all the Benjamin Franklin talk we've been doing.
Yeah.
So I got into it and I wanted to do like the whole Church of Satan, but by the time I got done with Anton LaVey, I was just like, nah, fuck it. We'll do just Anton LaVey on this episode because later we can do Church of Satan on a live episode, and there's the Temple of Satan, and there's some of these are conflicting things. We can get into arguments later.
Satan, Satan, Satan. Could it be Satan?
Anybody that
the arguments that. Now?
Yeah.
Anybody that didn't listen to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's an 80s drop there. Anyway. So I'm glad you're doing this. I don't get the backlash for it. So
I don't think we'll get any backlash because they're not bad. I was expecting a lot of evil, but well, there isn't any.
I'm sure there's certain sects, yeah.
Well, there might be some, but with
a little LaVeyan, more evil than others, but yeah,
with LaVeyan Satanism, yeah, there's no evil in it at all. I mean, really,
it's just a bunch of lazy fucks, basically. Yeah,
I think.
Well, he certainly was.
I think most of the evil that surrounds this is the things that were brought in from outside perspectives.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Satanic panic, the Moors trials, that kind of stuff. Like that's all a shit show that we're about to go into.
Yeah.
you get into whatever you want to. I'm going to go into Anton Zandor LaVey.
I went on a deep dive with this and turns out.
Good.
Oh yeah. Actually, I went probably a lot deeper than you did. I went to like try to find like where it started. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, well, actually there is no Satan. There is no good or evil. It's all based on, you know, all these old, what are the Sanskrits? Like the 6,000 year old, the oldest writings they have found. And some people are like, no, man, they're just the Anunnaki. And those are the fucking alien people.
Yeah. You know? I know what you're talking about. Anunnaki.
Yeah. And when I hit that part, I was like, nah, I'm just going to let Matt take care of this.
Wait a minute. This all ties into so much other stuff.
This episode is actually going to tie into Zach's upcoming episode at some time. I mean, oh, yeah. pretty hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I dove into it pretty deep myself. I actually went in and found and read some of the Satanic Bible and
Mm-hmm. I read that when I read that when I was younger because one of my buddies had one, and I read a bunch of it, and I was just like, "There's nothing. There's no devil in this. There's nothing evil about it.
There's nothing crazy about this. What the fuck?"
I was expecting. I was like, "How do you bring forth a demon?" No.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Yeah.
Not so much.
I listened to like 3-4 different podcasts and went about 24 episodes deep in each one over the last little while, and I was like, oh
wow. I found one that was just it was a Satanist podcast made by Satanists for Satanists. Mm-hmm. And it basically goes through all of the nine principle rules, all that stuff. And I sit there and I listen to it for about 6 hours, and then I thought to myself, these people are more full of shit than Southern Baptists are.
It's like become a living God or whatever, I think is one of those things on YouTube you can watch. But that dude gets on there and tells you about he's made a pact and he's good after he dies because he's made a pact. And how the fuck
all
do you
I know is
that? You don't know
I,
that.
I like the Dio / heavy metal devil better than the actual satanic. Yeah.
It's like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was like, we were totally lied to by our album covers, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yes. I'll even take the Little Nicky version over this.
So this, a bunch of this, okay, so here's the thing. A bunch of this comes from The Secret Life of a Satanist, which was a book by Blanche Barton, which was his last wife and he had a kid with, so... You know what?
Is it a woman scorned or is it the truth?
Nope. No. No. A lot of bragging going on in this motherfucker, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. He liked to brag, didn't he?
That was his favorite thing. Anton Zandor LaVey was born Howard Stanton LaVey in 1930 in Chicago. That's a weak-ass
name. I would have changed it too.
April 11th, 1930 in Chicago, he's born Howard Stanton LaVey. So Anton does sound a bit more evil. So
yeah,
definitely more cult-worthy.
More European, yeah.
His parents, Gertrude and Michael LaVey, were liquor distributors and very successful. So, I mean, things worked out well, but they moved out to San Francisco. And from an early age... Apparently, Anton could play music like a son of a bitch. Like, every instrument he picked up, he was just automatically awesome at.
Really? Zach,
how long did you play guitar before you got decent at it? Doesn't matter. He picked it up and was great. Okay. As soon as he touched it.
3 seconds later, it's like, fuck you, devil. You want to have
The devil went down to Georgia?
Fiddle off, boy. I'll take that fiddle of gold.
Devil had no chance against Anton. He was amazing at everything he touched. As soon as he started something, he was great at it, according to this book that his wife wrote about him while he told her that he was amazing at everything. there was a story, like he was like 5 years old and they went, his parents were going through like this store and there was a harp. He just walked up and just started playing it, and then angels showed up because he was so great, and like everybody just fell to their knees and started praising him. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but they said he was so great at it. So by the age of 10, so he's only 10, but he wants to be Anton now. Yep, no more Howard. Howard's out. He's Anton. That's a pretty early age to be like, I need to change my name.
Yeah. Maybe he's just getting picked on a lot. Howard, how weird.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like he... Okay, we'll get into the school stuff here in a bit, but he didn't get picked on for the same reasons you're thinking. He got into hypnotism, got into the occult and reading these books, but that's no different than me because whenever I was a kid, my dad worked at this place that made magazines. And he'd bring me home the Fangoria magazines whenever they'd run them. Yeah, but they were the messed up ones. It's not like they can go back in time and see him. No, he'd bring me home an issue of
Fangoria. I used to get some comic books like that every once in a while, too. The same things. Yeah.
Perks of being on the, perks of working there. You get working to take on the magazine every now and again.
Stick, you take one out and nobody was going to say anything. My daddy is this huge man. He would walk out. He could walk out with a pallet of them. Nobody's going to say anything.
Build it one piece at a time.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't try to sell in the parking
Johnny
lot.
Johnny Cash song. No, my dad could have walked out with a pallet. Nobody would have said shit. What are you going to piss him off? Probably not. Just let the magazines go, dude. It's cool. He's only taken once.
The magazine.
But yeah, he got into the, like, the horror books and stuff like that. So he was reading like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Dracula, which is pretty. I mean, if you ever read those books, they're pretty not horrifying or anything. They're just.
They're okay. Very romantic.
That's a good way of putting it. That's not a bad way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do magic. He was looking for magic, like basically his whole life, but he was looking for magic ways to get through life without doing anything, basically, as you'll find out.
I know.
He did hide the fact that he was into the occult from his parents because their relationship was great. It was like he wasn't a problem kid at school. He didn't have any trouble. He made decent grades. So he just hid the occult stuff from his parents because they had such a good relationship. So that just screams evil to me.
Yeah, the worst.
Screams Satan. So his problems at school, were that Anton felt embarrassed about changing in the locker room. He didn't. So he did have a doctor write him a permission slip to skip gym because he was embarrassed about changing in the locker room because of his gigantic penis.
He had big boy syndrome.
Is this from his words?
Yep, this is from his words. Yeah.
Okay.
And from his wife at the time, his unusually large penis.
Was it detestable?
Were they still married when she wrote this book?
Yes.
Okay.
he passed away shortly after, but this dude had no problem getting chicks. I mean, that's for sure. Well, as it comes up, I mean, he's a dirtbag, but yep. His unusually large penis left him with problems in the locker room because he thought all the boys were staring at it.
Because they would be.
Yeah, because they'd be like, Jesus, what the fuck?
What are you feeding that thing, man?
That's why he became a Satanist. He's like, God, why did you curse me with this gigantic third leg that I can please all women with? Why have you done this to me?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm in flight.
I have the Hang Low song stuck in my head now. Can you throw it over your shoulder? Okay.
Does your dick hang low? Can it wobble to and fro?
Holy crap.
Oh, perfect timing for that. So I'm going to go through a bit of this and then we'll go back.
All right.
1945 at 15, he became a second oboist with the San Francisco Ballet Orchestra. That's pretty fucking awesome. So apparently apparently he can grab an instrument and play the son of a bitch. Well, 1946, he drops out of school. 1947, he joins the Cly Betty Circus, which seems perfect for this guy. He was harassed about
unusually large penis.
Was he like this? Man has a snake.
He was too embarrassed to pull it out to be in the freak show.
Oh yeah.
Didn't want all the women chasing. He had enough women. He was constantly berated.
I mean, who doesn't want the second chair oboist?
The poor bastard.
He was harassed about in a cage boy for the big cats. And what he said was, instantly, he was able to control those animals. Like, just instantly. I'll tell you what, this guy, anything he does, awesome. Immediately great. There was even a story about, like, he would take, like, a sandwich and set it down on the ground next to the lions, and they wouldn't touch it because they knew he didn't want them to. So he would get down on his hands and knees and eat it like they would while they were eating their food. If you believe that for one fucking second, I'll sell you, I don't know how many things. I'll find things to sell you that I don't own.
Some ocean front property in Arizona, right?
There you go. Ocean, yeah.
All of us are singing.
You're welcome for that little earworm.
I can't get it out of my head now. I can't go on with this episode. I gotta get through this song. This is where he learns to play the calliope. Now, if you've never heard the calliope, it is a terrible fucking instrument. The sense,
yeah,
it's god awful.
If you've heard Looney Tunes, like original cartoons, you've heard a calliope.
Yep, that's
because they're in there. Like, it's in there a lot.
It's played like an organ because he was good at playing organ too, but it's played like an organ, used air pressure to blow whistles and
yeah. It reminds me like a little bit of like a xylophone, the way it sounds. But yeah, it plays like an organ. Yeah.
But they said some of these things, like for the circus or carnival, they could be heard for up to a mile away.
Wow.
Which is, that's not the instrument you want to hear from a mile away. But
nah. Yeah.
That's
not unless
that's
it's playing some Iron Maiden.
I don't know how good that would sound on a calliope. I wouldn't mind.
Let's find out.
I want to hear Fear of the Dark on a calliope.
Right? Well, it's Anton LaVey, so maybe a little Number of the Beast.
Nah. Yeah. Well, yeah. He probably wrote the song.
Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter.
If you would ask him. If you would ask him, he probably wrote it. And he played it way better than they did. You know.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, I play the bass better than Steve Harrison, you know, because I'm great at everything I do.
With my huge shit on.
Exactly. So he goes up to the calliope player for the circus or the carnival that he's in, because he's a carny now, and he wants to try out the calliope, but the guy wouldn't let him. So he put a curse on him.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then the guy got sick, so he got to step in, and he was so fucking awesome. He takes over as head calliope player.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So he gave this guy a bad burrito and then took his job. Got it.
No. The devil did it.
Oh, okay. The devil went down to the circus. He was looking for a calliope player to steal.
No, he asked. It came true. So this is where we're at. So he plays music behind the lion tamer, right? While the lion tamer's out there doing his job, he's playing it. And he becomes an apprentice and eventually becomes the lion tamer himself, which gets into, I started talking before I should have about him pulling all this bullshit, but that's how it happens. So
was he like playing the calliope with his toes and taming the lions at the same time? Or?
Well, he was using his penis as a whip. And
That makes so much more sense.
He's got his penis in one hand. He's whipping the lions, and with the other hand, he's playing the calliope
with one hand in his teeth because he was so fucking amazing. But he actually did say, he's like, you don't really even tame them. He's like, they just do what they do anyway. It's more to fool the crowd. It was like pulling something on the crowd. Like all day long, if there's a hoop set up, those cats will jump through them. They like to set up on high perches, just like a regular house cat. So, like all the stuff that they do, it's more getting into knowing how the cats operate, then taking them out and showing people, and then the cats do with it. Because you're not controlling that fucking animal. Get the fuck out of here. It's a gigantic
beast. Well, maybe
he
did it with the power of Satan.
Or his penis.
Maybe his penis controlled it with Satan.
So, all right, hang on.
I got you, motherfucker.
Yeah, you did. Okay, I got a little tears. I got to get, okay. All right, well, I can read again, I think.
No, just keep going.
he ends up in L.A. at the Mayan Theater, which is a burlesque house. And this is where he meets someone pretty special, Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he plays organ for the dancers.
Okay.
And says he was dating Marilyn Monroe. But she was... Yeah. So, yeah, well, I mean, he's telling the story, so yeah, he certainly did. And she was known as a chain dragger while she was dancing. That's what they called her. Because she was reluctant to take her clothes off, so it was like, took her a long time to get to it. And then when she did it, it was almost over, so she was off stage. This is what they said.
All right.
So, he said they lived together in a motel for a couple of weeks. Where they were just having sex constantly.
I think it was his penis.
I'm surprised he didn't split her in half.
Yeah.
With his...
That's one of those... I appreciate where my spleen is. Thank you.
With Satan's spinal splitter, I'm surprised she wasn't in more some kind of pain. If that's true, I don't know if that's true, but this is one of those things where he never let it go. Like later on in his life, one of his daughters, and I remember watching this when I was a kid in the 80s. Because my mom always watched all the talk shows, which is why I came home from school one day in my Motley Crue shirt. All the pentagrams that went down on the back of it had puffy paint covering them up.
What? She
was like, no more devil. No more devil. It's like I had another Motley Crue shirt that just had a gigantic pentagram on the front of it with a bunch of faces sticking out of it. But she couldn't tell it was a pentagram. Otherwise, that would have probably been thrown away.
Did you pray to Dio? Yeah.
Dio, can you hear me? I am lost and so alone.
So many references.
Tenacious D territory right now.
Oh, man.
Then I had another Motley Crue shirt that was the Dr. Feelgood knife going down the front and two almost naked nurses, which was cool, but I couldn't have the pentagrams on my shirt.
Wow.
Satanic panic was a real thing.
It was. It certainly was. Yeah. And I wasn't lying in the opening when I said I was terrified because I was a kid and I did think that, yep, I thought all that was real. I thought those things were going to happen to me or to anybody I know. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I got older, I went to those places that Dad told me where they went. We just go out there and hang out in the cemetery, drink beer. It's like, I never seen anybody in the hood. So he gets out of the carny business. He gets into all sorts of magic. He wants to know sleight of hand, like reading minds, all the weird fucking money grab shit that you can do, like all the, you know, all that kind of shit. That's what he gets into, right?
He's looking for more bang for your buck.
Yes. Yeah. Like anything that doesn't require actual work where he can make money is what he's, that's his game. That's what he's into. So he gets a house in San Francisco on California Avenue, and it's called the Black House.
It's called the Black House again, because it's white?
No, because he painted it black after he got
it. Okay, I'm just checking. Just double checking. Sorry.
So his story is he was looking for a house. There was already a for sold sign in front of this house. But he goes in and talks to the lady that owns it, and he says he needs this house. The lady told him it used to be a brothel. There were secret passageways where, like, the prostitutes would sneak into a room and rob a guy while he was having sex with a woman so that they would make more money.
And Anton rubs his hands together and goes, perfect.
Yeah, but it's all bullshit.
It's all bullshit. House.
So he says he outbid the other bidder for this house. And so the lady sells it to him because she thinks that he wants to practice the occult in this house. He wants to have people over, practice the occult. So she sells it to him. Okay. Well, that's his story. The real story is his parents' house. It's his parents' house and they give it to him, which
and he,
there were he had secret passages.
Yeah.
There were secret passages, but he made it after they gave it to him.
Gotcha.
This dude is a fucking cunt. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Like, you're telling me that a Satanist was a liar?
He wasn't even a Satanist, man. Everything these people follow, this dude was so full of shit because he would say these things about, you know, you got to stand up for yourself. You got to do things for yourself. And then people followed it, but this guy didn't do a fucking thing for himself. His parents fucking paid for everything. And so here we go on to some more things that I think are probably bullshit, but he becomes a crime photographer for San Francisco Police Department because he had made some art.
You can just walk right into that.
Well, he had made some art and they had seen it, Lindy, and they thought, oh, that's the greatest shit I've ever seen, so we got to hire this guy. Mm. There's no record of it, but he said it, so it must be true.
Everything he touches turns to gold.
Until the end. So the police department hires him. He's doing, you know, he's taking photos for him, apparently. And then he gets set on the 800 numbers. The wacko calls, as they call them. So he goes out, ghosts, UFOs. He's the original ghost hunter, Zach. He's done everything. Wow. It's fucking Fox Mulder. Ghost. Fox Mulder, right here. This is him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, ghost hunting wasn't a thing long before the 1900s.
He started it all, and here we're getting into something else. 1966, he started the counterculture. Nobody else did it. Oh. He did it. He started it.
Of course
it.
He did. Because he worked for the CIA, and he developed this little drug called LSD. And
Yeah, he probably did with the help of Satan, and you're not supposed to know about it.
But I haven't come across him yet in my MKUltra research, but he might be in there. I don't know.
Oh, he would. Yeah, no, it'll
LSD was already in the water, though.
Yeah, it'll cross. it'll cross stories. we'll probably come back to this in one of the ones that you do, but but he says he started the counterculture even though he hated it. He hated hippies. He hated the homeless. He loved the police. He was a huge, he had a massive amount of weapons, like guns. So, but it's the thing for a lot of people to come over to the Black House and hang out. This is like,
all the cool kids are doing it.
It's, yeah, because he would hold lectures on cannibalism, vampires, werewolves, all that sort of shit. Like, okay. So they even ate human meat one night. Thigh meat from a woman that had died that was brought to him by one of his followers who was a Berkeley physician. They said it tasted like in between.
Chicken?
No. In between lamb and pork.
Yeah, every story I've heard about any kind of cannibalism thing, typically I've heard pork. You know, the other white meat.
Long pig, I think, is what they refer to it as. Human meat is referred to long pig.
Especially if her name's Anton.
said he slept in a coffin.
Really?
Though I've heard his actual fucking voice say on some interviews that he slept in a bed with his wife and a cat. So we'll get into that real quick because we're going to go back in time. So all this shit's going on in his life and he's playing at these burlesque shows. He meets a girl, Carol Lansing. She's the daughter of a Wells Fargo bank executive. Anton was 20 and she was 14.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's okay. We're getting evil now.
We're getting into I mean that's not even cool in Arkansas.
It's not cool anywhere, man. That's fucking gross. If you're 20 years old and dating a 14-year-old, you need to fucking get some help. Some kind.
No, apparently got some help
from the devil.
That's a child. I think the devil would be like, I think the devil would roll his eyes and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Go find a fully developed woman.
Please. I have been lucky that as I grow, so do my taste in women. It's like I was working with some younger kids in my last job. They'd be like, oh, check out that chick. I was like, yeah, I bet her mom's a smoke show. You know, it's like, that's a fucking kid. It's disgusting.
Yeah, so, I get it. Trust me, I get it.
So she needed permission to marry him because they were going to get married. But her parents wouldn't allow it because he was playing organ and strip shows. But once they found out that he worked for the San Francisco Police Department, they were like, oh, okay.
Now, Is this the lady that wrote the book?
No. He, buddy, we can't have him too old. They can't be too old. You start pushing 20, he's going to be looking around.
He's out of there.
Yeah.
That handsome son of a bitch with his huge penis. So while he gets the job at the San Francisco Police Department, not confirmed, but he said it was. So they get married and they have a daughter in 1952, Carla LeVay. And she was on talk shows. She did. And she also ran the first satanic church in San Francisco for a while as she got older. And I don't know how. I don't know how long that lasted. I don't know if she's still doing it. I didn't get that much into
it. She's not.
Okay.
She's not. But they have a different high priestess now.
Okay. Because the second daughter is the one that I remember from whenever I was a kid that was on all the talk shows. And we'll get into that. But he had a steady stream of people from this 800 job that he had where he was a ghost hunter. Because he would go into these places and he said, like he'd say, well, I found out what the source of the noise was. And it was something easily explainable. But he said that would disappoint people. So he would actually tell them, no, I fixed the problem. No, I took care of the ghosts. I took care of the spirit.
I whipped out my devil dick.
With my huge devil dick.
And beat it into submission. It's never coming back.
I was going to say chasing the kids out of the mausoleum, you know, but it's yes. Fine.
Scared them off.
Whip crack with his devil dick.
That would have scared me off.
Too. I'll get back to Tenacious D.
Can't help myself.
So Janice Adams was a writer friend of Anton's. He gave him a 10-week-old black leopard that he named Zoltan.
Zoltan.
And that part is actually true because you could, mm-hmm. There are pictures. There
of
are
Anton
pictures
walking
of
the leopard.
Well, there's more pictures of him with the lion that happens later. But yeah, he had the leopard too. So they're in the black house, right? Him and his family are living there on his $30 a week that he gets from, because he's back to playing the strip clubs now at this point.
Oh, wow.
Only on the weekends. So a group of people would come over. It was like Friday nights at midnight. They would get together. They were called the Magic Circle, later called the Order of the Trapezoid. They wore special medallions to... The Order of the Trapezoid later became like the Church of Satan. Like, fuck, I don't know how you would. They were the higher ups.
Okay.
Deacons, yeah. Maybe? I don't know if that works. And
that'll work. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Deacons we'll of deacons. The Satanic Church. Sure. Yeah.
You know, them devil deacons, you know.
Yeah. So everything's great. Everything's going good. And then 1959, he meets Diane Haggerty. At Maury's Point, which was a club he played at. And she was a bit younger than his wife. She was 17 and he was 29. So he started fucking her because Carol was 23. Gross.
Right? And she had a kid. I mean.
Yeah, she had a kid. Totally blasted, ruined that vagina. Well, if your hog leg is so fucking big, what does it matter?
You keep that demon in your pants, Anton.
Doesn't matter. Satan has spoken. Carol, you're the fuck out of here with your old 23-year-old ass. I need a 17-year-old up in this place.
Get your saggy 23-year-old ass out of my bed.
So it's just like instantly Diane takes over as the priestess, like the high priestess of this society. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, cool. Hail yes, Satan.
Her breasts are much perkier. I like her much more.
Couldn't imagine them being much perkier. Probably not even full grown yet. But no.
Oh, this is so jacked up.
Sick bastard. So just some insight into Satanism for you. Hail Satan. Okay. All right. So yeah, midnight lectures would be held. And they were open to the public too. Like if anybody wanted to come in and see it, they could.
Just pass the hat.
1963, the first and only child, Zena LeVay, was born. And she is the one
she's the warrior princess?
No. She was a good looking blonde girl that would go on every talk show.
Okay.
I know my mom watched Donahue.
She was like Sally Jesse Raphael.
Sally Jesse Raphael. Mm-hmm. Fucking
Jenny Jones. And
all of them.
Yeah.
She would be on all of them talking about it. And it was like every time she said later, because she ended up hating her father and had nothing to do with him. But she said later, she was like, every time that she went on like a talk show, he would be like, bring up the Maryland thing. Make sure you talk about the Maryland thing. It's like, I need people to believe that I porked Marilyn with my huge wanger. I need people to know that that happened, which I don't know.
Huge wanger.
Is that why none of her marriages lasted? She just couldn't get over the wing that got away?
I don't know, man. I think it's bullshit. I don't think.
I think it's bullshit, too, for sure. Especially since back then she wasn't even going as Marilyn yet.
No, she was going by a different name. But also, I can't believe, like, even calling her a chain dragger, like, she took forever to take off her clothes and people didn't like it. I'd be like, that's Marilyn Monroe. No, she's building suspense and everybody's going to fucking love it. That just sounds... Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't believe any of that shit. So
she wasn't really a... nude star
she did Playboy.
I mean, she did some okay, there's a history to that, but
we'll do a whole episode on Marilyn Monroe. I think we could probably do that.
There's a great doc on Netflix you should go check out if you haven't watched it yet on Marilyn Monroe.
I have been doing nothing for the past 2 weeks other than the Church of Satan. It's almost like I wake up in the morning, I'm like, hail Satan. Oh, what? Okay. All right. I'm awake. I don't know what I was dreaming about.
As long as you get that cock push up in, buddy, I don't care.
You only need one.
Just one. That's all you need.
That's all you need. So, she left the church in 1990 and hated her father. She later became a Buddhist, actually.
Oh, that'd piss him off.
She compared her dad to L. Ron Hubbard. Super douchebag. But she compared him to L. Ron Hubbard because she was just like, well, it's just a money grab for him. That's all he was doing, which is most likely super fucking true.
I would say, yes, 90% accurate at least. Yeah. At least 90.
So in 1964, another friend of Anton gets him a Nubian lion this is pretty cool. Okay. This is cool. And then it's irresponsible also
at the same time.
Yes, it's cool and like irresponsible.
Kind of like stealing lawn gnomes. Yeah. Cool but irresponsible at the same time.
That never happened. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Okay, so he would take the lion. He would take this little lion with a chain around his neck. I write down his name? Tagari. So Agari. Zoltan and Tagari.
Okay.
He would take this cat to schools and let the kids come up and pet it. Like at this time, it was a little cat. And by little cat, I mean the size of a dog.
So it still could have just ripped the shit out of little children. And it could have destroyed the kid. Completely irresponsible to do.
It could have kicked my ass.
Because
it wasn't declawed, it wasn't defanged. It was just a fucking lion.
It's a baby lion.
So part of me thinks, oh man, that's awesome. And he took it for the kids to see. And then I was like, it's just a chain with your dumb ass holding it. If it went crazy, it could have ripped up three kids for you to stop the son of a bitch. Yes. Hail Satan. And
oh my God.
So he did get in trouble because after, taking it to school, some of the parents were like, what the fuck? What you mean? What happened today? You did who? What brought? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm calling the cops.
I would have done the same thing too, though. Yeah,
for sure. I would have done the same thing. I was like, my kid is not getting tore apart by a lion from some fucking idiot.
Don't you need a permission slip for that?
You need some kind of license, and he didn't have it, so he had to donate both of those cats back to the zoo because it's illegal to own them without a license. And I'm surprised this guy had a fucking driver's license as irresponsible as he is. So this gets back to the whole him talking about sleeping in a coffin thing. Which is absolute bullshit because there were some interviews that he did on talk shows where he talked about him and his wife sleeping in the same bed and the cat would sleep with him.
Not to mention that coffins are extremely uncomfortable. They're meant to house dead people. They're not cushy.
How the fuck do you know that?
Hey, let's leave that alone. Let's just leave that alone. She just knows.
I just know.
So.
Just know.
And I can't work for it.
Halloween decorations, okay?
Okay. One of Lindy's perks is, So, let's, moving on. 1964. After the divorce.
1964, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Carla chooses to stay with her father instead of going with her mom.
Wow.
So he might have been a good dad. I mean, he's home all the time because he's not doing anything else. So he might have
definitely been doing a lot of cool shit. He's doing a lot of cool shit. So you got
people coming over in black cloaks. They wear these huge medallions and stuff. You're sitting down, you're talking about all this crazy shit as a kid. Yeah, you'd be super interested in it, I would think.
And your dad at one point had a lion and a tiger. Yeah. He was missing was a bear. Oh my.
Well, he had a lion, a tiger, and an anaconda in between his legs as well.
Well, let's hope you never saw that.
See, okay. So here we go again, Zach. Hold on.
Every time, Matt. God damn it. Every time.
1966, Jade Mansfield comes into the story. But there are actually pictures of him and Jane Mansfield together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because she was, what was she? Like a super sex symbol, like in the 60s.
Yeah.
And then she wasn't getting much work. I think she was showing up there because the papers were there.
You scratch my back, I'll stroke your penis kind of a thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Most people that knew Jane said that it was just for her to get publicity, because any publicity is good publicity if you're an actress. So she was just wanting to get her name out there, but there's pictures.
Same thing if you're a Satanist too. Any publicity is good publicity, right?
Yeah. So, and he loved it because he made her a high priestess of the church, even though who knows if she believed it or not. And he would wear his outfit, which looked like jammies. Like the kids wear today with
the red jammies with the hood. Is this the
red?
No,
if you want to look like a Pokemon character, you can buy it where you just zip up and it's got a hood and everything. Oh, yeah. But that's what he was basically wearing to be the devil, which is ridiculous. Like the devil was probably looking at him going,
he was a furry.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So stupid.
Jesus.
But here's the thing. Okay. They dated, he says. He said they dated for quite some time. They were in a relationship, having sex like crazy. He was splitting her open like Marilyn. But
wasn't she too old for him?
She was a star, though. So
those aren't 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Perky
her vagina's
breasts,
over,
I can deal with.
Over 18 years old, which is too much for him. But she's a star, so he'll deal with it, most likely. But said she, since they were away from each other, she had met another man who was a lawyer, and he was
jealous. You mean somebody that actually made money?
No, he was a jealous type, and she would call Anton and tell about how abusive he was and how controlling he was, so Anton put a curse on him. Just so happens that she was in the car when the curse came to fruition and killed her as well.
Wow.
So he admitted to
afterwards. Yeah, afterwards he's like, yeah, that's because I put a curse on her.
He like, whoops, my bad.
I didn't mean to murder her.
Sure you did that.
Just him.
Damn you, Satan. You were supposed to take care of him by himself. And take 3 inches off of my penis so I can at least be in a public urinal. This is ridiculous. So February 1st, 1967, John Raymond and Judith Case had the satanic marriage, which I think is cool because her name was Judith, which is a DN name.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But there was so much publicity over this. Like more journalists showed up to this than what, since the opening of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow.
Just because it was a satanic wedding.
That's pretty crazy.
So after this, he's called the Black Pope, the Dirty Pope, magazines. It's coming up with names for him. He starts the Topless Witches Review, where they would come out of coffins naked and do a little dance. And no, it was probably Calliope. Circus music.
Should have been Black Sabbath.
Nothing gets me hotter than titties bouncing to circus music. I'd be creeped the fuck out. What are we doing? But hey, Guess who one of the girls was that was part of the Topless Witches review? Susan Atkins. Do you guys know who that is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So a few years later, she would be involved in the Manson murders. Yeah. And she was the one that allegedly, after she done most of the murdering, and then was like licking the blood off of her fingers and shit. Mm-hmm. And she said later that she blamed LaVey for like going down that path. But LaVey said she was just another Hate Street burnout. He was like, he just had her in there because she was good looking and would get naked. So it was like
breasts. Yeah. Yeah.
And she died in prison at the age of 61 in 2009. And we will, we'll get more into this Manson episode because we're definitely going to go back into that.
Yeah, we gotta cover some ground before we get there. But yeah, mm-hmm.
The first satanic baptism for 3-year-old Xena happens. So I have what he said, and I did write all this shit down. So, in the name of Satan, Lucifer, welcome our new mistress, Xena, creator of ecstatic magic light. Welcome to our company. The path of darkness welcomes thee. Be not afraid. Above you, Satan heaves his bulk into the starlit sky and makes a canopy of great black wings. Small sorceress, most natural and true magician, your tiny hands have the power to pull heaven down and from it build monuments to your own sweet indulgences. Your power makes you master of the world, of frightened, cowering, and guilted men. And so in the name of Satan, set your feet upon the left-hand path. Xena, we baptize you with earth, air, and brine, and burning flame. And so we dedicate your life to love, to passion, to indulgence, to Satan and the way of darkness. Hail, Xena. Hail, Satan.
Hail, Satan.
I should have worn my fucking Slayer shirt.
You're good. You're good.
So I thought, actually, you know what? Thinking back, like in the 80s, like when all that shit was going on, like if my mom would have heard that, like the words that he said, she would have.
Oh, God, I mean, baby Jesus.
Yeah. She's like, you're not leaving this home ever again. You're just staying here because there's nothing but hell on earth out there.
Till you turn 45 or I die.
But if you take out the Hail Satan parts, it's just kind of like, hey. Go enjoy life.
And the indulgence part, yeah.
Yeah, go enjoy life a little bit. Yeah. Try to have some fun.
It's jacked up.
Okay. Mrs. Edward Olson requested that he perform a funeral service for her husband, who was a naval officer. This goes well. Because they do it. They do it.
Oh, wow.
So there are people out there in black robes while there are also chrome helmeted naval officers out there to fold the flag, to play the taps, to shoot the guns at the end of it. So there's Satanists and then there's naval officers. It had to be awkward as shit, man. I bet the military guys were like, I wish these weren't blanks. Fucking weirdos.
Sounds like a really kick-ass music video, actually.
Well, in 1968, on June 12th, Rosemary's Baby was released. But Anton also released an album called The Satanic Mass, which I won't get into because I've listened to some of his music. It is all absolute fucking shit. It's garbage. It's fucking horrible.
I thought he was awesome.
Well, he's awesome in everything other than music. Apparently, he was good at music, but also not good at music.
Maybe he was not.
You can listen to it for yourself. Make your own conclusions, I suppose. I mean,
I think I'll just pass. Bullshit is bullshit is bullshit. And I'm good. I'll take your word for it.
LaVey said that Rosemary's Baby did for the Church of Satan what the Birth of a Nation did for the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, he was saying that that's where they got all their followers was after Rosemary's Baby came out. Great, great movie director. More of a Satan than Anton LaVey, I think.
And we're kind of getting back into the whole, that's Polanski, right?
Yeah.
And we go right back into Manson.
And Manson, yes. So yeah, these two stories, I didn't want to get too much into it because I could have went farther with both of those things, but I was like, no, because when we get into Manson, we can dive back into this and go,
yeah.
All ties in together, man. Woo!
Yeah. So in 1969, he released the Satanic Bible, which I have read some of, which I thought was whatever. I didn't care.
He stole most of that, by the way, from
an 1896 book called Might is Right.
Yeah, that's correct. Which is
by Ragnar Redbeard.
Mm-hmm.
That had wrote it, and then there was two other books that I had read that. But then I was also like, after I read the first one, I was like, well, who cares if he plagiarized one? Who gives a shit? He didn't write that. He
basically left out all the stuff except about the way the white people in that book were supposed to be. I mean, it's basically like it's a guidebook for the Ku Klux Klan, I believe.
And he wasn't far away from being part of that himself.
Right. Yeah.
Even though a lot of Satanists that follow it now think it's super left hand. Well, he said left hand, but he was super cop loving and, you know, we're not getting into that kind of shit because I don't fucking care. But,
yeah, let's stay away from that. And I'm left handed. Yeah.
But I also read that he would credit people like in his books. Like if he wrote a book and he had taken something from somebody, that he would credit them. Like
something, he would say, you mean heavily plagiarized, like basically word for word, maybe took some shit out of order. Yeah. And that's the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause that's the book.
This seems like something I read. Damn near plagiarism. Yeah. So in 1970, he published The Complete Witch, which didn't sell well. So he changed it to The Satanic Witch, which still didn't sell well. 1972, he released The Satanic Rituals.
Didn't sell well. You can't polish a turd. That's all I'm saying. No.
And he released another book after that, but they didn't even write it down because nobody fucking cared.
He also tried to come up with his own version of the Ouija board.
I didn't know that.
He did.
And that went as well as his other two books, apparently.
Yeah, it never came to fruition. Basically, the guy that did the Ouija board that eventually copyrighted everything did so well, like the copyrights and everything so well, that there's all of the spinoffs of Ouija are his own.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
You can't have a Satan board. You can't have a God board. You can't have it's probably copyrighted, all that shit. Trademark.
I want a Cthulhu board. Can I get it?
That's all trademark. Trademark, copyright.
Milton Ricky Bradley. Bobby. Or fucking whatever it is.
Ricky Bobby. Yeah. Ricky
Bobby. If you don't like Cthulhu, fuck you.
You don't chew Big Red. Fuck you.
1972, he stops group attendance, group activities, he's out. 1975, he's living off book sales. He did appear in the movie The Devil's Reign, which I didn't know how many fuck John Travolta's in that. Fucking
oh my god, Mr. Carter, you.
Well, it was actually said that was like one of his first things that he had done, and that Anton said like a prayer for him. Hail Satan, you know, for it. And that's why his career is so good, and that's why he's in Scientology.
Hmm. Well,
makes perfect.
William Shatner was in that? Fuck's sake, there were so many people in that movie. But okay.
No, I can't do anything. Shatner was also in the Twilight Zones.
Two of the good ones. Yeah. One was in the diner with the fucking thing that wouldn't stop playing with the devil head on it, and the other one was the something on the wing.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. That's my all-time favorite. That's one of the first ones I saw, and that one scared the fuck out of me when I was little.
Okay. So he's completely shut off from the public at this time. Like he's getting old. I think it's more he doesn't want people to see him the way he is now. I think he wants
to remember him. He can't get it up anymore is what you're saying.
I don't know what his blood pressure is at, but how much would it take to get that python up in the air? But he comes up with artificial human companions. So he's going to make sex dolls. That doesn't work either. But in 1984... On May 1st, He marries Blanche, who was 22 and he was 54 because his other wife was way too old. And that's gross. So in 1988, Diane puts a lawsuit against him and wants to be compensated for all the shit that she has done for, you know, where he's at right now. And in 1981, he files for bankruptcy. He lives on state aid. So much shit talk from a guy about do things yourself, but once his parents can't help him out anymore, he's fucked. Yeah. You know? So August 5th, 1981, she wins more than $1 million in the settlement, but he has to sell the Black House and everything in it, like, to pay her. Donald Warby was a follower of Anton's, a friend of Anton's. He buys the house and allows Anton to stay in it. So him and Diane.
Very good friend.
Yeah, that's a very good friend. So Diane gets some money. He gets a place to stay. November 1st, 1983, Satan LaVey is born. The only kid those two would have together.
Are you sure it's Satan or is it Satine?
No, it's Satan. Absolutely Satan.
At least name that kid Natas or Natas or something, you know?
Like, that was a skateboard.
You know, exactly. Yeah.
He did release more music in 1995. Satan Takes a Holiday. But, I mean...
It's a holiday in Camhellia.
It's not near as cool as the Dead Can. It's not even in the same ballpark. It's not the same fucking sport. It's him talking over shitty fucking organ music.
Oh, it's garbage. One of those.
Oh, please go listen to it. Please do yourself a favor.
At one point, I bought like a Nirvana single where they're just like playing weird shit over some weird poet. And it's like a weird B-side I got from Europe, and I'm good. I think I burned that CD. I was just like, fuck it. No, it's not even worth it.
Oh, man.
By the way, CDs, kids, those were the mini Frisbees slash one coasters. One
fierce beer coaster.
Yeah.
So, October 29th, 1987, he dies.
But
they said his final words was, "What have I done?"
Really?
Yeah, but I'd read different ones too. But
he can't even fucking tell the truth when he's on his fucking bed.
No, he can't tell the truth when he's dying. Son of a bitch. But Xena came out and said that she was so sick and tired of her dad, she put a curse on him, and that's why he died.
Ooh, so it never ends. You know what?
Guys, it never ends.
Here's for Xena.
That's Anton LaVey, and I wanted to get into some of the teachings and stuff like that because it's pretty interesting. But I'm going to save that for a live because hopefully we do have some Satanists that listen that can chime in and correct me if I'm wrong about something other than what I've read.
Sure, you.
I'll tell you what.
That they're still.
I'll tell you what. When they want to call in, I'll give them your number, and then you can talk.
What? You don't want them coming in live? We get prejudice against Satanists or what?
No, but they're very pro Anton LaVey, my friend.
Well, then they need to be taught the truth because fucking look into it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can still follow what he said, even though you hate him.
It's a matter of opinion.
Well, he's a bit of a child molesting lying piece of shit.
With a huge whanger.
Well, I don't care how big his wang is. If you're 20 years old and you're fucking a 14-year-old, you're a piece of shit. And I don't give a fuck who says that I'm wrong about it.
No, that's absolutely correct.
You are, no, I agree. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So you can be 100% behind him, but he did that shit. So fuck you, I guess. I don't know.
I think 100% of the time they were 100% in front of him, probably, if he was. Never mind.
Well, he's probably clear across the room.
In front of a huge banger. I hear he's got a huge banger. Anyway. Oh, jeez. You gotta put some levity in this shit, man. You gotta. Matt, that was very, very interesting, very informative, and what a piece of shit.
Oh, man.
Thank you. It was.
I was expecting so much evil, but the only thing evil was like the fact that he fucked children. Basically,
that and he's got a snake, man.
Hey. Just a lot of dick jokes. Is basically, all you got.
I bet you got really hairy balls. It's a veritable forest down there.
Well, guys, do you have anything else? We good?
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene. Are we going to copy?
Hail Benjamin.
Hail Benjamin. There we go.
Hail Benji. Benjamin.
Nobody brought up Benjamin Franklin once today, except for right now.
Yeah, Lindy did, I think, at the beginning. I think.
Okay. Okay. Well, good job.
But my storytelling was so captivating that you guys were just wrapped up in it. Is that correct, or is I just blowing shit up my ass?
No, you nailed it. You nailed it. I mean, in the middle there, I had to go stop and take a shit, but I mean, I came back.
Well, so, I mean, you gotta get the Benjamins out of you.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
I got to get the evil out of me, boy.
That was fun.
Well,
so guys, I want to go over after this one's released. I want to do on the live. I want to go over some of their beliefs and what they, because my mom's going to be angry about me doing this episode.
Well, I mean, you just totally made fun of the Satanic Church. So I don't know if she could be mad at you.
I didn't make fun of the Satanic Church at all. I made fun of Anton LaVey.
No, LaVey is, I meant LaVey. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
People that follow him, no, I've got no problems with, because they don't hurt animals. They don't hurt people. They don't. It's like we'll get into it later. But yeah, I didn't make fun of the followers. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, the guy was a lying son of a bitch, and they knew it too. So
yeah. Got anything else, Matt? You want to tell the people anything else?
Fucking Sony. No. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm done.
Well, guys, if you. If you like what you're hearing here, wow, what a weird one today.
That was fun. I thought it was fun.
It was great. No, I had a good time, but it's just like no murder. No murder today? What's going on?
It's lucky one of the kids didn't get shredded apart by the fucking lion, but
yeah.
I mean, pure luck. No murder today.
Except for the curse and the, you know.
Jane Mansfield dying, Marilyn Monroe dying, probably Satan. Yeah.
Or maybe the Kennedys. Well, that's a different episode altogether.
Different episode.
Boy, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. That's my territory.
Talk about some episodes now.
Well, guys, thanks for continuing to like, rate, and review the podcast. Please, if you want to help us out, that's the best way to do it. Just fucking rate it.
It's so fucking easy to do. I mean, seriously, it's so fucking easy. Just
takes 3 seconds.
Five
from
stars
your phone.
On that motherfucker. If you sat through this entire episode, give us 5 stars. I mean, we were cussing. We were talking about terrible things all the time.
I said
5 stars if you made it through it.
5,000 times.
Say, hail Satan. I love pizza rolls. Anything. At the moment. Doesn't matter.
Hail Ben Franklin. I would prefer hail Ben Franklin.
Hail Ben Franklin. Excuse me.
Hail Ben Franklin.
All right.
Well, I just had the Rosemary's Baby thing in my head. And, hail Satan. Hail Satan.
I said your damn words.
Nectar.
Yeah, I said your damn words.
Nectar. Verata. Well, there I said them.
No, you did. You did. Well, guys, that's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Zach.
Spar.
Lindy.
And we will see you next Tuesday.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
A long ass fucking time ago in a town called Kickapoo.
Gotta get some meatloaf in here in a second.
Can you hear me? I'm lost and so alone. Asking for your guidance. Won't you come down from your throne?
Oh my goodness.